This is SoundSide. I'm Libby Denkman. When you think about preventing the spread of infectious disease, sheriff's deputies are not typically the frontline workers that spring to mind. But Pierce County deputies are currently on the lookout for a patient at the center of a highly unusual public health case. For over a year, the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department has been attempting to locate and isolate a person with a confirmed case of tuberculosis. The department has repeatedly gone to court to get assistance in tracking the patient down to force her to get medical treatment. Just last week, a judge extended a civil arrest warrant in the case. Matt Driscoll is a columnist and opinions editor at the News Tribune in Tacoma, and he's been following this case. His recent column is titled, "Why Hasn't Pierce County's Rogue Tuberculosis Patient Been Arrested? No More Excuses." And Matt joins us now. Hi there. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Matt, you say no more excuses in the title of that column. What prompted you to write this? Why did you get to the point of saying, you know, enough is enough on this case?
First, I think a lot of credit here goes, just from my knowledge and the public's knowledge of this case, to my colleague Debbie Cockrell, who's really been following this case for certainly as long as it's been public information. And I think her reporting has really kind of contributed to the public knowledge on it. As a columnist, right, one of my jobs or responsibilities is kind of to articulate the frustration sometimes in our community. I think there is frustration at this point over this case. I mean, as you said in the intro, public health authorities have been attempting for over a year to get this patient to comply with treatment orders for tuberculosis, which is a serious infectious disease, spreadable by air. The good news is it's not nearly as spreadable as easily spread as something like COVID-19, but still it's a very serious condition, and public health authorities rightfully take it serious. And so after watching this play out, it's been public knowledge since January, but when that happened, it basically revealed that the health authorities had been in court since January 2022 trying to compel the patient to comply through court orders. And, you know, most recently, it's come to light that the patient has been under surveillance at some point. Authorities have witnessed her ride a bus to a casino. And still, we're basically in the same position where the patient isn't complying with treatment orders. And at this point, it would seem, folks don't really know, even though they are. And so I think from a public health standpoint, particularly after everything we've been through over the last 3 years with COVID-19 and really kind of highlighting the importance of effective public health responses, it's highly frustrating to see a high profile case like this occur. And, authorities on the public health side and law enforcement side, basically through the systems we have in place, being unable to compel the patient to treatment.
What is known about this person, Matt? Do we have any idea why she's refusing to get treatment and limit potential spread of the disease?
The reality is very little is known about this patient at this point, and that's for a few reasons. One, obviously, public health officials are kind of attempting to strike a delicate balance here between being transparent and communicative with the public, while at the same time respecting patients' privacy rights, with things like HIPAA in play. And then secondarily, a lot of the, many of the court documents in this case have been sealed by a judge presiding on the case, including the patient's identity. We have a set of initials, but that's really all to go on. So the court documents that are available, hint at certain issues that might be at play. And I think those are important to keep in mind. There's at some points mentioned of a translator. So language might be an issue. There are other hints to some other challenges that might be contributing to the situation. But the reality is we know very little about this patient, and we know very little about why they have so far refused to undergo treatment in isolation.
Tacoma Pierce County Health Department has been to court over 16 times now to try to get something done about this person who with TB. Can you tell what the holdup is? Is this on law enforcement side? Is it on the public health department side? What's going on?
That was certainly the thrust of my column, that I think at this point the ball is pretty squarely in law enforcement's court, whatever you want to make of that. I mean, one thing that we've learned over the course of the reporting on this story is kind of the system that's in place that deals with situations like these. They're rare in Pierce County. They're rare just in general. I think over the last 20 years, Tacoma Pierce County Health Department only three times has sought court orders to compel someone to treatment. But there is a system in place. It starts with identifying a case and a diagnosis. Most of the time, when that happens, patients accept treatment voluntarily. Sometimes that doesn't happen. In those cases, the health department has the authority to seek court orders from a judge to compel treatment. That began happening in January of 2022. And then finally, if those steps kind of don't work, the health department has the authority to seek a civil arrest warrant to apprehend a patient and stick them into treatment. And that has now occurred. And so from a health department standpoint, they've kind of done what they should do in such a situation like this. And from a court perspective, the judge has issued the appropriate orders. And so now all that's left is for law enforcement to actually apprehend the patient. And, you know, there are some things that make that complicated. I think it's important to note that it is a civil arrest warrant instead of a criminal arrest warrant. I mean, we're not talking about a warrant for murder or assault or rape. And so generally speaking, local law enforcement would prioritize accordingly. But, you know, at this point, there's still an active warrant. That was the latest update in this case, that that warrant has continued. It's active. The patient could be arrested at any point. And so far, that hasn't happened.
Matt, is there any indication that this woman lives with anybody or has family members that might get involved here?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I think, again, it's important to note how little we know just based on the information that's publicly available. But based on the court proceedings that have occurred, I mean, it does, at least at one point, it appeared that there was contact with family members, that family members were in contact with local health authorities and potentially the court, and that maybe there was a way that a resolution could be found. And early on in court proceedings, I believe, according to health department officials I've spoken to, I believe the patient even appeared via video in one of the earlier proceedings. So at some point in this saga, there was an indication that, you know, family was potentially involved and that there might be some way to work with them to get the patient to comply. But, you know, most recently, certainly of the last court hearings, she has fallen off the radar. And as far as I know, there has been no more contact with the family. And, you know, according to law enforcement at this point, you know, the patient is trying not to be found, is actively trying not to be found.
You spoke to the Pierce County Sheriff's Department about this. What did you learn from talking to the department?
The big thing is just some kind of general perspective, I think. And I do think it's important. While I maintain my frustration over the case, I do think the perspective that law enforcement brings to the table is important to consider. I mean, again, it's a civil arrest warrant. Most of the time in a situation like this, unrelated to TB, you know, police wouldn't actively, you know, this would not be a SWAT team situation. Police wouldn't actively try to track someone down and apprehend them. What would happen is a person through the normal course of their lives would more than likely eventually come in contact with law enforcement. That warrant would come up and then it would be served, you know, unless that person was to do something about the warrant before then under their own power. Of course, in this case, it's slightly different. But, you know, one of the big things from law enforcement was just the reminder that, you know, they are dealing with a lot and, you know, they prioritize things accordingly. And they believe that they've prioritized this case appropriately. You know, the other thing you learn from talking to law enforcement is that there is, you know, there is some frustration about certain ways that this case has been handled, at least publicly. From the perspective of law enforcement, the information that the patient had been surveilled and witnessed, you know, riding public transit and going to a casino should have never became public, because they would argue that it kind of jeopardizes an ongoing investigation and was ultimately unhelpful to their cause.
And that became public through court filings, right? The sheriff's department did not want that information out.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it became public through court filings that the News Tribune and my colleague Debbie Cockrell subsequently reported on. They certainly wish that had not occurred. So there's that part of it as well.
If law enforcement has so much information about this person and has put them under surveillance and has watched them riding public transit, going to the casino, why wouldn't that person be picked up at the time? Was that prior to the arrest warrant being issued?
No, it's my understanding that the warrant was active at that point, or, you know, the court order was at least in place. I mean, it's a good question, and I think it's a fair question for the public to ask, and it's certainly a question that I have. And so, kind of getting back to your previous question, what do you learn from talking to law enforcement is, you know, they're hesitant to discuss. Basically, their answer is, you know, when we're able to publicly talk about this case, it'll become clear at that point why we approached the situation how we did and why the patient wasn't apprehended at that time. But they're not going to divulge any more information about their ongoing efforts to apprehend the woman, because they said it would jeopardize, they believe it would jeopardize those efforts, which, you know, you can certainly understand. But the long and short of it is, we have very limited information available to us at this point as the general public, only what's been made available in court documents. It's provided snippets, but we really don't know the full scope of everything local law enforcement has been doing in response to this warrant, or ways they may or may not have been surveilling her or attempting to apprehend her. And at this point, it doesn't sound like we're going to learn a whole lot more about those efforts until after this case is concluded. And so I think that only adds to the frustration that at least some parts of the general public have regarding this case.
Yeah. I know you talked about the ways that the pandemic shifted our understanding of public health issues like this. Now, tuberculosis is a very different disease, as you mentioned. It's less communicable, but although it still does travel through the air. I'm curious where we stand now. I mean, would this case have risen to the level of you wanting to write a column about it if we hadn't, of course, come out of a pandemic where we had this greater understanding of the ways that as a community we interact with each other, we keep each other safe? I mean, does that inform your desire to write on this and maybe people's desire to see a resolution to this case?
I think it has to. I know certainly for me it did. I mean, I can't speak to, you know, if the pandemic never happened, would I have been compelled to write about this? And I think it's important to note that this is not the first time this has happened. You know, unlike our response to COVID-19, which I think to, you know, at least to a general public felt new and kind of unprecedented, dealing with TB and attempts to limit its community spread is something that public health authorities have been doing for years and decades. You know, as I mentioned, there are at least three instances over the last 20 years where court orders have been sought in Pierce County to compel someone to treatment. So that's not new. They know how to do this. But I do think as a general public that, you know, the last 3 years have certainly illuminated the importance and the kind of the inner mechanics of our public health system and how it kicks into gear to keep the general public safe. And so then I think when you see a situation like this, or speaking only for myself, seeing a situation like this where the systems we have in place to limit the spread of a potentially dangerous infectious disease don't seem to be making any difference at all. I think it adds to the frustration that you feel, because, again, I just think, for the layman, now, after the last 3 years, we have such a clear understanding of how public health responses work and how important it is for them to be effective. So certainly it added to my frustration, and certainly it contributed to my decision to write about this case.
Yeah. It is a strange case. It is definitely getting attention nationwide now. And the coverage that you and your colleagues are doing at the Tacoma News Tribune is, really helping to kind of shed light on this. And also, I think that you're navigating a delicate balance here. Like you say, there's privacy issues involved. Every case is individual and different. But I think that the light that you're shedding on the broader public health concern here is really important. And I thank you for that coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you're right. It's a delicate balance, right? And as a columnist, I kind of take the responsibility seriously. And then I think I even said this in the column, but I mean, by no means do I think it would be appropriate for me to kind of use my platform to, target a specific patient, because we really have no idea what is going on in this patient's life or the factors contributing to this situation. We just don't. And so it would be unfair to kind of use my public platform to, come down on
put
this
somebody
patient.
On blast.
But that being said, I do think that this illuminates some potential gaps in our public health response and some potential failings. And I sure hope there's a conclusion to it soon. So thanks for having me on.
Matt Driscoll is a columnist and opinions editor at the News Tribune in Tacoma. Thanks very much again, Matt.
Thank you.
Hearing about a current case of tuberculosis in present day may feel a bit disorienting. It's a reminder that the scourge of 19th century factories, fictionalized in Dostoevsky novels, Puccini operas, and the musical Moulin Rouge, is still very much a concern of public health officials. In fact, the World Health Organization says symptoms are rising globally for the first time in years. Washington State saw its largest outbreak in two decades at a state prison in Aberdeen last year. At least 17 people contracted TB in that cluster. In Pierce County, there are about 20 cases of active TB a year. Jay Miller, regional medical officer with the Office of Health and Science at the Washington State Department of Health, says it's important to understand the disease's spread.
So tuberculosis is generally spread through the air. So when someone with tuberculosis breathes or coughs or talks, the bacteria goes into the air and then someone else can breathe it in. I think it's helpful for people to know sort of the common symptoms of tuberculosis so they would know when they should seek care and evaluation. So some of the common symptoms are cough, fever, night sweats, chest pain, weight loss, sometimes fatigue. Sometimes people who have a cough can also cough up phlegm or blood. So particularly if someone has a cough for a longer period, like for more than a few weeks, then that's something that we would encourage them to seek out care for and see if they should be tested for tuberculosis. Because of course, the first step to getting treated is knowing that you have tuberculosis. And so that means helping people get tested for tuberculosis. I think the other thing that's helpful for people to understand about tuberculosis is that sometimes people can have the tuberculosis bacteria in their body for a long time. And it doesn't make them sick because their immune system controls it. Some people go their whole life that way. But for other people, eventually the bacteria kind of wakes up and becomes active and multiplies, and that makes the person very sick, or can make the person very sick. So that's the other reason that it's helpful for people to get tested, is that some people could have tuberculosis in their body but have no symptoms. And we do have treatment for that form of what we call latent tuberculosis as well.
Is latent tuberculosis also communicable? Like if somebody has a latent case, are they able to spread it?
No, if someone has latent tuberculosis, they're not contagious to others. But at some point, if they do go on to develop active tuberculosis, then at that point, they could become contagious to others.
How long of an exposure time are we talking? Is tuberculosis as communicable as, say, the common cold or COVID?
Generally, it would take a bit longer with tuberculosis. It varies person to person, but generally it would take a bit longer. And so most commonly, we would see people get infected who spend a longer time around someone with tuberculosis. So that would be often like their family members, their coworkers, or other people who are around them for, hours at least.
And TB is treatable. What's involved in treatment?
Sure. Tuberculosis is treated with multiple antibiotics. And so while it generally takes months to fully treat tuberculosis, the treatment is almost always successful.
Let's talk about numbers, because globally and in Washington state, there have been recent noticeable spikes in case counts of TB. What has the Department of Health been observing?
I don't have the numbers right in front of me in terms of case counts. I will say that I think that people are often surprised by how much tuberculosis there is worldwide and how it's still an important cause of death. Fortunately, in the US, this would be pretty rare for someone to die of tuberculosis, but worldwide, about 1.6 million people die each year from tuberculosis. And so I think people are often surprised by the fact that actually more people die of tuberculosis than from HIV/AIDS.
Wow. And why is it important? I mean, it seems obvious, but let's just lay it out there. Why is it important for somebody with tuberculosis to get treatment?
Sure. There are two main reasons why it's important for someone to get treated for tuberculosis. The first one, you know, as we mentioned, this is a serious disease and people can get very sick or even die from tuberculosis. And so we of course, would want to provide treatment before someone gets very sick. The other piece is that by providing treatment, we can keep people from continuing to be contagious, and so we can protect the people around them.
Is it common for a case to happen where a patient does not voluntarily get treatment for a disease like TB? How often does the state or individual counties have to go to court to compel treatment?
This would be a very, very unusual situation. So this really almost never happens. The vast majority of people want to get treated for tuberculosis, of course, for their own health and also to protect the people around them. And so the main role that public health and healthcare providers play here is really helping people get treated and addressing any barriers they might face in getting treatment. And this is primarily done by our colleagues in local public health. So this is city and county public health in Washington. So they might bring someone groceries if they can't get groceries while they're getting treated, or they might go to the person's house so they can provide them treatment at home, or they might drive them to an appointment if they don't have a car. So I think that that's really the important thing to remember here is that the main role for public health and for healthcare providers is helping people get treated, because the vast majority of people want to get treated and want to protect the people around them.
Jay Miller is Regional Medical Officer with the Office of Health and Science at the Washington State Department of Health. Thanks very much, Jay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.